went out to Kentucky, and David was just on a mission for his dad. He took care of his dad's sheep, but David's dad sent him to the army where the men were fighting the Philistines, and he had brothers in the army, and he gave him a care package and said, bring him this food, bring him these supplies, and help your brothers out. And David obediently followed his father's instructions. When David arrived at the army camp, he saw a conflict between the Philistines and the Israelites, but it wasn't a full-out battle. There was a huge giant, almost 10 feet tall, who was a mighty warrior who had never been defeated in battle. And he said, why should we have a lot of death? Why should we have a lot of people give their lives? We could make this simple. I'll fight for the Philistines. You bring out a champion to fight me. If I win, you'll be our servants. If your guy wins, we will be your servants. And he made it simple. And David, as he came, this young teenager, he heard that challenge, and he looked around seeing who's going to step up. Will it be King Saul, who was head and shoulders above any man in Israel, who was the anointed of God, who had killed many Philistines in battle in the past and had been a great warrior for God? Would Saul stand up and say, I'm the Lord's anointed, I'll fight you in the power of God? No, he didn't see that. He didn't see anybody in the army of Israel stand up and take that challenge. He didn't see a volunteer. There was nobody that was willing to volunteer to fight this individual. They'd heard of his reputation. They saw how big he was. And they were, to say the least, freaked out. The Bible even says they were fearful and they ran back away from him, trembling. Satan loves that. But I want to tell you today, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God didn't give us armor for the back because he didn't expect us to run away. He says, stand firm in your faith. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. And whatever it is that's shaking you up, it's not of God to fear and to run back away from the challenges in your life. And upon hearing Goliath's challenge and upon seeing what happened with the soldiers, this teenage boy offered himself. He said, I'll fight him. I'll go up against him. And then he made a statement I love. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, that reminds me of the Israelites. The Israelites, in Joshua's day, they saw the giants. And they looked at themselves like grasshoppers. And that's how the majority were, the 10 spies. That's how they were. And that's how the Israelite army was. They looked at this giant and they saw themselves like grasshoppers, and he's just going to stomp on us if we go out there. But David didn't look at it that way. David saw God as a giant and this guy as a little bug that God was going to squash. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And when David openly volunteered to go, his older brother, Eliab, scolded him. But the fearful soldiers that heard him told King Saul what this teenager was doing. Then something amazing happened. Saul, the king of Israel, summoned a teenage boy. And he was brought to the king of Israel. And Saul was not willing to fight the giant. And Saul was afraid to take Goliath's challenge. And I like it when people will not step up to the plate. Many times God will raise up somebody and he'll step up to the plate and take the challenge. One thing I like about Mike Lindell is he's willing to take a challenge and fight. I like that spirit. And I like David's spirit here. And What happened to Saul? He did have many victories, but he stopped exercising that faith in God, and he stopped getting those victories, and so he was shrinking back. And by the way, if you stop walking by faith, if you stop going after the challenges and overcoming by faith, if you stop that in your life, you're going to start shrinking back, and you're going to start backsliding.
Right, preacher.
Because there are only two gears, forward or reverse. If you put your car in neutral, we're going up a hill and you will go back. You're going up a hill and you've got to have your car in gear and your faith has to be engaged. And every day it has to be engaged or you're going to go backward. And so when that happened, King Saul was not ready to go. And when the teenager came to Saul, the king took a look at him, and he saw this kind of reddish, freckly-faced kid, and he said, "What?" And his immediate conclusion was, "I should have never asked this kid to go. This is not going to work." And he said to him, "You can't beat this guy. He's an undefeated champion. He's a giant. He's from his youth. He's been fighting and winning. You're just a kid, man. There's no way." And you know what he was doing? He was looking on the outward appearance. God was looking on the heart. And sometimes we go by the outward appearance, and man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And so God was looking on the heart, and he saw that, and David said to Saul, "Listen, I have experience. I may not be a great soldier warrior, but I took care of my dad's sheep. And when a lion came out against the sheep and a bear came out against the sheep, I went out against them. And I literally took a little lamb out of their mouth. And when the lion came, I took that lamb out of his mouth. And when I took that lamb out of his mouth, guess what happened? The lion came after me." You know what? I know who to vote for in the next president. It's the one all the globalists and the devils hate. Because once you fight devil, he will hate you. And he will stir up a way to get you and to attack you. And David, when he delivered that lamb from that lion went after him to kill him. And David said, "I took him right by the beard." Anybody got a beard I can demonstrate? No. He said, "I took him by the beard and I killed him and I killed the bear too." And he said, "The God who gave me victory over the lion and God that gave me victory over the bear, he will give me victory over this uncircumcised Philistine." And that's what I want to say today. You cannot win by using somebody else's armor. But listen, God wants you to win today. He wants you to get fresh victories. You cannot live today on yesterday's victories. But you can use yesterday's victories to face new challenges today. I've had many challenges from my youth up. But I am still wanting to face new challenges today and to win. And I believe God wants you to do that today. God is calling upon you. You're teenagers. You went out to the conference. That's great. You saw God, great. But now God wants you to face the challenges in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And he wants you to win here with what you got from the past. And so David, you know, he said that. And it kind of convinced Saul, like, wow. Hey, he's the only one we got. We might as well send him in. I warned him. And so he gave David his armor. And he suited him from the head all the way to the feet in the armor of Almighty God. So, I want to just say to you, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust God, but take the challenge. Trust God, but step out in faith. Trust God, but volunteer to do something for God. Because if you just have something in your heart and you don't step out in faith, you're no threat to the devil. You don't give the devil any problem. It's the one that trusts and obeys. That's the one who finds the way to be happy in Jesus if you trust and obey. But David was a humble young man. He needed permission of this doubting but anointed king of Israel. So he convinced him by telling him the stories, and he got that permission, and David's faith stirred up something in Saul, and he gave him his armor, and this brings me to my text this morning. He's in the armor now that Saul gives him. He's got Saul's permission, and he starts to walk. It says he essayed to walk. What that means is he attempted to walk. He tried to walk. And can you imagine this young teenage boy with this great big tall guy's armor on, and he's like, He's like, I can't use these. He took them off, helmet off, took this everything. He didn't even have a sword, man. He took it all off, Jesse. Sorry to tell you, he didn't even have a sword, Jesse. All he had was a slingshot and 5 stones. And you know why he had a slingshot and 5 stones? Because he had used them as a shepherd to fight off and ward off enemies of the sheep. And he knew that God had used them and that they would work and that God was the one that was going to use what he had. Listen, there's a lesson here for you, and that is use what you have to serve God. And here's a lesson that I want to preach to you on this morning. You cannot win in God's warfare by using somebody else's armor. You cannot win in God's war by trying to be somebody else. I'm saying that God will use you. God wants you to have your own experiences. Thank God for Luke Zukowski, and he's following his dad as his dad follows Christ. But Luke has to fight himself. He has to get with God himself. He has to have his own answers to prayer himself. He has to have the victories himself. Thank God for those that went out to the conference and you heard the preachers preach and you saw the big college and you're all impressed. But God wants you where you are to have victories yourself. God wants you to know he can use you where you are. You don't need all of the things that are out there. You cannot win by using somebody else's armor. You can be encouraged by their faith. But you need to get a hold of their God. You need to get a hold of their God. And so that's my message to you. Verse 39, he said, I cannot go with these. I have not proved them. And David put them off from him. I remember being at Baptist Bible College. There was an evangelist called Tom Williams there. He was a great preacher. He was one of the two men that really taught me about faith and really made God real to me. And I saw the reality of God. And when he came to chapel, I'd sit in the front row. Dr. Ware and I, we'd sit right in the front row. We wanted to listen to everything he had to say. We visited with him and talked to him and counseled with him. He came to our dormitory. I was a dorm president. I had him to the dorm and he spoke to the dorm guys. And it was just awesome to see this guy. And I remember one time, this was during the time of a great evangelist that was more famous than Tom Williams. How many have heard of Dr. Jack Van Impe? Raise your hand. Okay, he was a famous evangelist back in that day, and he was called the Walking Bible, and he memorized the entire Bible, the entire King James Bible at that time. And he would quote, I heard him preach in 1969 at Wealthy Street Baptist Church, and under his preaching, I gave up rock music, and I served the Lord. And so he was preaching, he was a Walking Bible, and Tom Williams got looking at Jack Van Impe. He said, he's a greater evangelist than me. He's doing, look at this with the walking. And he tried to copy Jack Van Impe. And he said it was like God spoke to him and said, Jack. He said, I'm not Jack, Lord, I'm Tom. He said, Jack. He said, I'm not Jack, I'm Tom. And he got the prompting and the message that why are you copying Jack? Why are you trying to do what Jack does? I called you Tom Williams to be my man. That's very interesting because Jack Van Impe went off on some things that he had when he was earlier. And he became more compromised in his later years, although he believed the Bible and so forth and so on. But he didn't stay with the old-time religion like Tom Williams did, you see. So Tom Williams might not be as famous as Jack Van Impe, but Tom Williams walked with God and did what God wanted him to do. And that's what you need to do. God wants you to realize you cannot win in spiritual warfare by using somebody else's armor. You know, even the message today, I had a message all planned. I had it prepared, but I realized that was influenced by somebody else. This wasn't the message God wanted me to preach. And I told my wife, I'm scrapping this message. I'm writing a whole new message because I got to be me. Don't like it tough. I got to be me. And you got to be you. And that's what God is going to use. And some people are living vicariously through others. They see great things that others are doing. They say, oh man, if I just plug into this, I'll be great. No, you won't be great. You got to plug into God yourself and walk with God yourself. And then you'll be great. I'm thinking of my wife, and when she came here to help out counseling in a camp, and I was single, and she was single, and she got with a pastor, Dr. Charles Ware, and he had, he was engaged to Sharon McKinney at the time, and this lady was a great lady. She was a Bible teacher. She was a example of womanhood, like wonderful example of womanhood. And we had a guy in our church that was a fellow student with me. His name was Mark Bibbins. He was my roommate in Scranton. And he got with my wife. He was going to help my wife. First of all, he tried to date her, that rascal. And he got with her, and then he goes to her. Now, if you're going to be a godly woman, you need to copy Sharon Ware. You need to be like her and just watch everything she does and do what she does. And Sharon Ware was very quiet. She was convicted not to even give testimonies in church. She'd sit in church. She didn't give a testimony. But what a godly woman. I mean, an example. Wonderful. And when she talked, she'd go, yes, Charlie, what would you like? And I had my wife doing, yes, Randy, what would you like? She was starting to copy Sharon Ware, Sharon McKinney at the time. And she realized, wait a minute, you don't have her personality. And she didn't have her spiritual gift. She had her own spiritual gift. And she had her own personality. Very outgoing, very sanguine, comes into a room and she was different than Sharon. And that wasn't godliness to be meek and quiet in that way. It says a meek and quiet spirit, not that you don't talk, she talked a lot. My wife. In a good way. In a good way. But I'm just saying, you cannot win by using somebody else's armor. That's what David said when he got Saul's armor on. Now he had been shown, God will give you the victory. And Saul said, well, here's the armor. Like, that's magic, You go ahead and use that. And David said, no, I can't use Saul's armor. I got to put that off of me. And you have to do the same thing. I think of a youth conference we went to years ago. You were there. Ray Young preached. It was at a pastor school in Hammond, Indiana. And he preached, and he was a teenager. His wife was a teenager. And I remember the message was on, you need to follow an Elijah. You need to be an Elisha and have your Elijah. And you need to find out who your Elijah is, and lock in with your Elijah. And that's a good message, amen? And at the end of it, he had people give a commitment. I remember his wife chose, I believe it was my wife, to be her Elijah. But Alicia Zukowski is not Kathy Boone by any stretch. Whole different personality. Whole different spiritual gift. And see, she followed an Elijah, but she didn't become a clone of that person. That's not what God is asking you to do. He's asking you to follow your leaders, follow their faith, follow their example, and get your own walk with God. get your own victories from God. You see these great people at Commonwealth and in that church, but get your own victories from God and have your own personal walk with God, or when you get up there, you're not going to have anything. Because, you know, Billy Sunday was a great preacher. The Spirit of God was upon him. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he saw great things happen for God wherever he went, you see. And he was a unique guy. He used to be a player for the Chicago White Stockings, I believe it was. And he was a major league ball player. And when he would preach, he would literally slide into second base. When he preached, one time a guy tried to hit him with a bullwhip, and he jumped right out of the pulpit and jumped right on that guy that was trying to whip him with a bullwhip. One time he saw these, I don't know, they were like bars up there, and I don't know how he did it, but he jumped up there. I don't think it was that high. He jumped up there, and he's swinging from the bars, and he's preaching to the people. He was a very athletic preacher. And there was a young man, he said, I want to have what Billy Sunday has. So he got into the pulpit in a special meeting, and he did the same thing. He slid, he jumped and tried to grab the bars and swing, and he tried to do it. They picked him up and carried him right out of the pool. I mean, he ended in disgrace. I mean, he was an abject failure. And so, you see, you cannot win by using somebody else's armor. You need to get a hold of the source of their power. You need to get a hold of their God and learn yourself to walk with God. And so David, he said it. He said, I cannot use these. I have not tried them for myself. I have tried that slingshot. I have tried that stone. I know you've been big up here, but be yourself. Come down and face your challenges and get victories from God, and God will bless you. And I learned to do that. I learned to do that. I learned when I went to conferences and I went to these big things, I learned to walk with God right here and make it my own. And I told God, I said, Lord, Charlie Ware's been called to preach. I've seen other men get called to preach and become pastors. Now, I'm in Bible college. I'm studying to be a leader. But, Lord, I want you to call me to preach. And I want to know it's you. And I remember I prayed that for weeks. And I was married and just newly married and working at Giant Food Market Warehouse down here in, I guess, South Scranton. I was working unloading boxcars. That was my job. And, you know, come home and eat dinner and go to work. It was a heavy thing, going to Bible college and all of that. But I was praying. I said, God, you show me. And I remember Dr. Charles Ware, he said, Bloom, I got to go to Jamaica. I got to preach in Jamaica for Winston Smith meetings in Jamaica. Can you preach for me on a Sunday while I'm gone? I said, yes, I'll do that. And I began to study the Word of God and pray and said, Lord, what do you want me to share? And I was in the book of Joshua, and it was like it jumped right out of the page. It says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And what he said to Joshua, it was like, it was like personal to me. He was telling me these things. And I looked at that and I said, my, oh my, what is God saying to me? And he said to Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant is dead. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel. He said in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. And I want to tell you, it's as though God Almighty was applying this scripture to Joshua, to me. And it was as though he was telling me, when Pastor Ware is gone, you're going to have to be depending on me. You're going to lead, and I'll be with you. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest, have not I commanded thee? And it was like God, and that's what I was saying to God. I was saying, God, I want to know you said it. I want to know you called me. I want to know that you'll be with me. And God gave that to me. And I told Charlie Ware about it when he came back. He said, Bloom, I'm not dead yet. But little did I know it wouldn't be too long after when we went down to Florida for a year, year and a few months, that God called Charlie to go to Washington, D.C. to pastor there. And he said, Bloom, I believe you're the one. And I'm talking to the church about it. And the church voted to call me. And I had to be ready. And I was ready because I was locked in with God and walking with God. And he showed me, not at Bible college, though I was going to Bible college, I was here in the church. Let me tell you, your gifts and abilities come to light in the local New Testament church as you get locked in. People say, I want to be this counselor. I want to be this or that. Listen, your gifts will come to light as you yield yourself to God, as you pray to God, as you walk with God, as you lock in with others and you serve God right here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I wasn't called out of Bible college. The college didn't call me. The church called me. And I believe in the church.
Amen.
And you cannot win by using somebody else's armor. Though you may be all impressed with it, and you maybe should be. Nothing wrong with being impressed with it. I want to have the power of those men. I want to have the presence of God as those men. I want to have the knowledge of God as those men. But how do you get it, friend? Conferences have a part, but conferences are not the be-all, end-all. It's the local New Testament church. And I've been to every conference you can imagine, the greatest of the greats. I'm saying to you this morning, you cannot win by using someone else's armor. You have to give what God gave you. That's why I'm glad I tore up that message that I was going to preach, because I heard another man's name on it and I said, no, I can't. Now, I've used other men's messages before, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because it was his armor. I felt his armor. And God was not giving me grace. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach now? Said 1 Samuel 17:39 came to light. Came to light. I am the angel of the church called Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And we're here today because God has a message for us. You say, how can I be somebody? Lose your stinking ambition and burn it up.
Good.
That's your whole problem. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Lose your life and you'll find it. Lock in. And the longer it takes us to do that, the longer it will take us to realize who we are. Who we are. And you cannot win, no more than David can win, by using Saul's armor. You have to have your own armor of Almighty God. And someone says, well, I want to be a counselor, and I'll go maybe get a class and be a counselor. I've heard that over and over again through the years. Believe me, I've heard it so many times. And you could do that. And you could make some money at it. It could be a job and so forth. But listen to me. It is a gift. You know, I'll tell you somebody who is gifted to be a counselor. It's Kathy Bloom. She has, listen, the spiritual gift of counseling. It's her spiritual gift. And God uses Miss Alicia in my life in a different way than Kathy Bloom. She has a gift. It's a tremendous gift and very useful, but it's not the same gift. It's not that she can't counsel. You can counsel if you know the Bible, right? And you should be able to counsel everybody, according to Romans 15, should be able to counsel if they know that book and give people what the Bible says. Then they'll be able to counsel. You can't counsel without knowing the book. Kathy Bloom, in addition, she has that gift of counseling called the gift of exhortation. And she has a way to identify a problem in somebody's life and say, this is what you want me to do. I hear it all the time. Somebody just came up to me recently and said, Pastor, your wife said this, and boop, I did that, and it turned my life around. And now I'm going that way, the way she counseled me. And that's what the gift of exhortation, it means to call, para, it means to call you alongside what they're saying. They're giving you advice and to call you that way, and you hear it and you follow it and it blesses your life. And it's of the Holy Ghost, my friend. You know, somebody said one time, he said, just how do you know what's of the Holy Ghost? Just do exactly opposite of what you naturally think of first to do. And usually that's what God wants you to do, right? Usually that's what God wants you to do. Walk in the Spirit. And so I'm saying, you can't have somebody else's spiritual gift. You can't have somebody else's armor. You got to be you. I got to be me. Don't like it. Tough, you know. I got to be me because God's got something for me to do. God's got something for me to contribute. And people don't like Donald Trump, but I'll tell you what, he's the one I believe God's raised up to deal with the globalist.
Right.
On a political realm. I'm not a politician. I'm a pastor. That's not my thing. But he's being raised up. You say, well, what about DeSantis? He's just not being raised up, I don't believe. He's being raised up for Florida right now. And you say, well, how do you know? Because all the globalists are backing DeSantis and the rhinos and not Trump. Not because DeSantis is necessarily a bad man. It's just they don't want Trump. They want him in jail. They want to get rid of him. He's a threat. You know, thinking about that, I think about these men who, during the times of the gifts of the apostles, the revelatory sign gifts in the book of Acts, and there were these seven Jewish sons of Sceva, and they, you know, tried to wear the armor of Jesus, and they tried to wear the armor of the apostle Paul, and here's what they said. This is funny. They said, we adjure you by the name of the Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And the evil spirit within this guy said to them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And here's what it says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them and overcame them, all seven of them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Boy, there's a lesson here. They failed. David, if he went with Saul's armor, even though he believed God and trusted God, he may have failed because now his confidence had been switched to a rabbit foot instead of God in the Bible. I listen to people and I listen to their counsel, but if their counsel is, I perceive, not of the Lord, and it's not helping me do the work of God, I'll have to kick it out and go with God. There's a fine line between giving godly counsel and playing God. And you got to recognize that. You got to recognize, like Nehemiah, when he saw those people were counseling him, that they were not of God. And you need to get away from that kind of. And if it's not locking you into God and locking you into God's work, even though it's godly people, even though it's good people, you got to say with Jesus to Peter, get thee behind me. This is not what you want, God. And Jesus completed the mission that the Father gave him. I'm saying God's got a will for you. And here it is right here. And you can get in this book and you can find out the will of God for your life. And we are a Bible preaching and a Bible teaching church. And you will get it if you listen and you keep coming and you get locked in. You want counsel. People say, I want counsel. Well, first come Sunday morning. Sunday school, right? Then come Sunday morning church. Then come Sunday evening. And then come Wednesday. And then, yeah, come and we'll get personal counsel. I'll be doing some personal counsel today, right after this. But it's a person that's locking in and needs that extra counsel. And, yeah, that's the way it should be. And so I'm just saying, David got locked into taking care of his father's flock. God gave him his own experiences there, locking in with his father's flock, of winning over the enemies. That God gave him his own experiences there. And while his father sent him out, God gave him this great victory that propelled him to the next level. And you need to get locked in and humbled down so that you may have your own experiences of serving God and winning victories by faith. And people will see that. Now, I remember Baptist Seminary. After college, you have seminary, and I got my master's degree, you know, bachelor's and master's. And I remember the seminary was taken over by a guy named Laverne Schaefer. He came from California. He was a great big professor, middle-aged man. And I remember he had a big head, and he'd shake his head like this when he taught. And he was so smart. And he knew the Bible, and people were intimidated by him when he shook his head. And I remember there was a guy named Terry that we'd started the church down here, and he was getting well known up there, and these seminary students were following him, and they were following him like a bunch of chicks follow a chicken, you know, just like right in line with him. And there's this guy named Terry, and when Laverne Schaefer shook his head, when Terry had to teach or do something, he'd get up in front and he'd go, he'd try to do the same thing. It never came to anything. Terry didn't do great things for God, to my knowledge, you know. But I remember even our pastor, he was like, man, I get intimidated. I think, why should I be down here preaching? Why should I be down here having service? They've got this great Laverne Schaefer up there. Everybody just should go listen to him. He knows way more Bible than I do. And then he got into his soul, God gave it to him. You're a pastor. I've called you. I've got a message for you that nobody else can deliver, and you need to deliver that message. And he got a hold of it, and he said, Bloom, he said, I had to exercise faith concerning my gift and do what God wanted me to do. And that's what I'm telling you today. Girls, guys, teens, adults, married, singles, you cannot win by using somebody else's armor. You've got to use your own armor. And I want you to get locked in here serving under the man of God, just as David served under his dad and got experiences with God. And just like young David, I want you to have your own walk with God right here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church and right now. And right now, I want you to follow the faith and the commitments of those that are locked in and make them your own and have your own experiences with God that you can speak of yourself. And we have now about 12 great advanced trainers. And they're Great Commission advanced trainers. And guess what? They need trainees who can help them and learn to do what they're doing in the power of God. And we'll reach more people. Thursday night, I went out with Brother Alex here. He's my trainee for this semester. And we got a visit Miss Alicia had done for us before she left. And we went up there to a house up there in North Scranton. And there was a guy there, a Spanish name. And I knocked on the door, asked for this Spanish guy. And it was a little difficult. And then there was a lady there. And I forgot her name. You remember it? I don't remember it, but I got it written down. But anyways, like a Spanish name. And I called her name. And I called it because it was written right on the side of the house, right over the mailbox. I called her first name. I figured that was her, Rodriguez. You know. And then I called her name, and she goes, how'd you know my name? And I'm like, well, it's written right on the house. Right here. And I started to give her the gospel, ask her the two questions, and she was struggling with tongues. She was having trouble speaking English. And I recognized that. I said, uh-oh, I might have got myself a little bit above my head, and I tried to do a little Spanish, but it wasn't getting it. And she's from Dominican. I said, oh, Dominican, that's interesting. And so there was a guy there too, all of a sudden, from behind me, speaking in tongues, was Alex, and he was speaking Spanish fluently. He said, I'm not very good at speaking. Man, he was... and I was like, wow, this is great. You know, he's just speaking a Spanish language, and this lady's listening, the guy's listening. And then I thought, well, he's done with sin. Now we'll get to the next point. He said, are you ready to pray to receive Christ? Yes. And she prayed to receive Christ. I don't know about him, but she did, I know. And praise the Lord, man. And he did the follow-up. We left. And I mean, Brother Joe passed it. He's got it, you know. So, but, you see, he launched out on his own. I told Brother Eric that. He said, yeah, same thing happened to Jose Valley. He said I went out and we got a Spanish person, and all of a sudden I was over my head, and Jose took over. He started speaking in Spanish and speaking in tongues and speaking the Spanish language, and gave them the gospel, and they got saved, and it was a blessing. And he said ever since then, he's really taken initiative. God just blessed him. He's made it his own. You got to have your own armor. You got to have your own armor. Learn from the men of God, but have your own armor. Learn from the ladies of God, but have your own armor. And be yourself, and God can use you. And then I was ready to go that night. I had some pressures on me. I had to go see somebody. All week it's been very busy, and I was kind of like ready to go. Alice goes, let's go to that one in Mayfield where we went to. And I'm like, well, let me check on the phone. See, I checked on the phone. My problems, I could put it away a little bit. I said, okay, let's go up to Mayfield. So we drove all the way up to Mayfield, and we got with a couple up there, and I said, listen, we got a church app. This lady had gotten in an accident, and the guy she was with got killed immediately with a head-on collision just before Christmas, and the guy that hit him got killed, and she went into a coma for about 3 weeks, came out of it just before Christmas, and she called me up and said, Pastor, I know I need to see you again. You know, I need to get locked in. So we went up there, and Alex and I worked with her. But then we followed it up. She's in a wheelchair maybe for a year. Has all kinds of surgeries, carotid artery, this one, carotid artery, that one. Ankle, leg, heart got all torn up. I mean, crazy stuff. Lady in her 30s. And we're talking to her, and she's like, I promised her I would get her the church app. You know how we got the church app? You can get the daily devotional. You can get the Bible reading. You can get a lot of stuff on it. Sermons. You can just click on and listen to sermons, you know. And I promised her I'd do it, but so much going on, I hadn't gotten it done. So I said, let's do it now. And how do I get on the app? I tried to tell her how to get on the app, and that wasn't going too well. And Alex from behind me, he goes, hey, just our church website, there's a link on our church website. Just hit that link. Go to ScrantonRevivalBaptist.org, hit that link, and you'll have the church app. Next thing I knew, in about 5 seconds, boom, she had the app. And she clicked onto a sermon, and this guy started preaching. And I was like, amen. Well, she said. And then we talked to her future sister-in-law, and she'd pray to receive Christ, and we got her at least to commit to come to church. We haven't got her out yet, but she committed. And her son, Matt, and I had led to the Lord, Xavier. And Alex and I followed that up. And now Xavier wants to come, get baptized. What am I saying? I'm saying Alex got locked in. But he is getting his own unique relationship with the God of the Bible. And that's what God does. He calls you by name. He knows your name. He knows exactly how many hairs you got on your head. And I can't count them. I don't know. But God knows every hair in your head. He knows your name. He has a plan for your life. But it's going to be locked in with him and in the local church. Like David was with his dad. Like David was with King Saul. An anointed king, not where he should be, but God used him. Listen to me today. God has a plan for your life. Now, let me say one more thing. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally, that's not going to get it. You have to know him as your personal Savior. You have to come to him yourself. You can't live on your dad's faith. I knew there was a guy one time, he went to camp. You kids going to camp? This guy went to camp. It was a fun camp, and it was a Baptist camp, and they were preaching at this camp. And the preacher said, "You can't live because your mom told you you're saved." And this kid was there, and he said, "That's exactly me. My mother told me I was saved. I can't remember getting saved, but my mother told me I was saved." You can't live on that. You yourself have to come to Christ. You yourself have to put your faith in Him and in the Word of God. Because in John 2, Jesus couldn't put His faith in their faith. He had no confidence in their faith. He didn't commit Himself to those Jews because He said, they don't have it on the inside. They don't have it. You've got to know Christ is in you, that you have faith in Him, that He's your personal Savior. Listen to me. If you don't know that, then you don't get to go to heaven. You need to put your faith in Him. And you don't get to hear His voice through the Word of God and follow Him because you never put your faith in Him to save you from your sin and from hell. So you need to do that today if you haven't done that. But if you've done that, you need to determine, I am going to follow Him daily and put down my old life and, yes, learn from the examples of others who are getting locked in, yes, but do it yourself. And get your own walk, and He'll bless you. All right, let's pray. Amen. Every head bowed and eye closed. I wonder if you say, Pastor, I know Jesus is my personal Savior. I know I saw my sin, and I deserve to go to hell, and I came to Him by faith, and I know I'm saved, and I want to praise Him for that. Would you raise your right hand if you have that as your testimony, your personal testimony? Amen. All over this building, you may put it down. And perhaps you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not 100% sure with a personal Bible reason. But I'd like to be sure.